Please, straight away to Psalm 95. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. And a warm welcome to those who are visiting for the first time here at Calvary Chapel, Cambridge. Over the last few weeks, we've had messages about the Word of God and about the Spirit. The message about the Word was called "What the Lord Has Made Known to Us." The Lord has made known his will to us through his word. Amen? And that the Spirit in us is greater than he who is in the world. Okay, so as we get into these texts, we need to be confident, one, in the word of God, that we believe the word, that it's come and authentic from above, and that we have the Spirit in us to interpret. Amen? So we, in a sense, we're fully equipped. We have the Word and we have the Spirit. So let's us not underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do when we submit truly to him. So, Father, as we open up your Word, as we look at this text, Lord, may the Word soften our hearts to receive. Lord, may our hearts be tender, that we may hear your word and respond accordingly. Lord, may we put all the busyness, Christmas and the new year, aside right now, Lord. Lord, we want to start this new year honoring you. We want a fresh start and we want fresh manna and we want to hear from you, Lord. So we're trusting you, Lord, that through the Holy Spirit, you will speak to your people this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, look, let's look straight at the Psalm 95. And we're going to read from verse 6. And you're going to need a pad and you're going to need a pen. You're going to need to take some notes. And what is required is your full attention on this teaching. Okay? The reason why we've cut worship short is because today's message is that subject. In the psalm here, 95, the psalmist says this, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker altogether, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. But then it says this, and this is definitely for us. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He goes on to explain that. But let me say this. This morning, if you hear the voice of the Lord our God, do not harden your hearts like it was when you was a rebel. Remember your rebel days? I remember my rebel days, and we're all born rebels, like it or not. The word of God declares it. And this morning, we need to ask the Lord to soften our hearts as we've just prayed, that we may hear from him. Amen? Now look, over Christmas, Chelsea and I heard this short teaching. And the teaching was on worship, and it was fantastic, okay? The message was given by Impact Video Ministries, okay, which is, as far as I know, evangelical outreach, and all their information online, it's all free, all their videos are free, and people can download them and play them in churches, whatever else it is. So today, I, in a sense, want to present their work, okay? It's a bit like what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, okay? So may they get all the credit for this morning and may Lord get all the glory, amen? So today, the subject is about worship. Now, what is worship? We hear it a lot. We hear about worship, worship music. Are you going to be at the worship service this evening? Come and worship God. We hear this word a lot. Now, is it simply singing songs of praise to God over and over again? What do you think? Is there more to it than that? Is that worship, or is there more to it? So today I think we will learn together the difference, okay, between worshiping God and singing songs of praise. There's a distinction. And today I think we will learn. Now, personally, I was very convicted by this teaching, hence the fact I'm giving it this morning and intentionally as the first message of the year, because every one of us has been called to worship God. Hope you know that. That's our calling, and it's our primary calling to come and worship God. So today's message is called A Call to Worship. Now, because there's a correct way to worship, okay, which means it's an incorrect way of worshiping. Turn with me then, let's begin in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, Israel were often rebuked for their insincere worship. You see it in Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah as well. So Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to look at 2 verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read it from the NLT, but it opens it up a little bit. Now, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 15 says, "When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you may offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victim. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight and give up your evil ways." Powerful, huh? Now, the Israelites, they're in worship. They're in the temple. They're lifting up their hands. They're praying. They're saying many prayers, it says. In a sense, they look the part. They're all dressed up for worship. They put on their Sunday attire. They've arrived on time, and they are there worshiping God. But the Lord says this, "I will not look, and I will not listen." But they're there, they're doing everything, aren't they? Lift up their hands and they're worshiping the Lord. But he says, "I will not look nor listen." And the reason is this, simply, is that their hearts was not in the right place. You see that? It's their heart which is not in the right place. In a sense, they're offering a lip service. They're saying all the right things. They're doing all the right things. But their heart is far from the Lord. But he offers a solution, okay? Because it says this, "Wash yourselves and be clean." Now, make a note in your Bibles, in your notes, because the Lord always offers a way of escape, amen, through his word, okay? When it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. So the way that we can get clean is by the washing of water by the word of God. When we read the word of God, that is a cleansing that's taking place. Because if we've got the spirit in us and we believe that the word of God is divinely inspired and preserved, it should have an effect on us if we believe truly what we're reading. Okay? So we see even in this short passage here that worship is more than singing, more than praying, and more than being in church. Worship is more than all of that. So today we're going to look at 4 points. Just 4 points, okay? And because we want to know what is acceptable worship to God. Okay? Do you want to know what that is? Not just coming here and singing, but I want to know what's acceptable in his sight, not tradition or what I think either. Amen? Are you with me on this? Because we want to know. If you want a fresh start for 2024, we need to hear from God. So the first point is this. You want to write it down. Worship is complete surrender and willingness to serve. Worship is complete surrender and willingness to serve. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 8. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 8. And this is where Satan tempts Jesus. Okay. Again, we know this passage well, so pay close attention. Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9. And he said to him, all these things I will give, and I will give them to you if you do two things, fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Okay. Now, the devil has shown Jesus all of these kingdoms and their glory, all of their riches, all of their splendor, all of their wealth, everything that's available. And he's shown them to Jesus, okay? But there's one thing that he wants. He's saying to Jesus this, it's all yours. You can have absolutely everything. And of course, Satan himself had a lot of authority. In fact, he's the ruler of this world. That's what the scriptures say, okay? And everyone is under the sway of the wicked one, okay? Now, the conditions are this. Fall down and worship me. Those are the conditions. And Jesus' response is this. Away with you, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And look what he says. For it is written, it's going to the word of God, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, I think we can see just through this passage, okay, that there is a connection between falling down and service. There's a true connection to, this is what he wants him to, fall down and worship. And Jesus is saying, you shall worship your Lord God, and him only shall you serve. There is a connection there. Now, remember in Daniel, chapter 3, okay, very well-known passage, where Nebuchadnezzar's got the golden statue, and he wants them to do the same thing, doesn't he? Wants them to bow down. Read Daniel chapter 3 in your own time. Just go through it. So many verses. But he's demanding worship from the people. And connected with worship is for them to bow down, them to fall down and worship. So therefore, worship is connected to service. Okay? These three are intricately woven in. Falling down, worship, service. Okay. So worship in this, consider this, has nothing to do with singing so far. We agreed? Nothing to do with singing, but has everything to do with someone bowing down and surrendering. That's what it has to do with, okay? So, someone bowing down, surrendering, and having a willingness to serve, that's worship. Surrendering, bowing that stiff neck of yours, that stiff neck of mine, that stiff neck of Israel, and serving and obeying God. Satan did not want a song, did he? Okay, he didn't say to Jesus, will you sing for me? Will you fall down and will you worship me? And you can have everything. He didn't request a song, a nice tune. Okay, so bowing down in surrender to him and offering his willingness to serve him, that's what he wanted. Okay, so worship, I want to say firstly is this, is a choice. For you to worship, for me to worship, is a choice that we have to make, okay? And it comes in two steps. You can write these down. Number one is surrender. And number two is service, okay? Now, what surrender is, okay? Like, for example, in war. When one surrenders in war and they've got the white flag, they are admitting total defeat. That's what it is. Now, the victor, the one who wins the battle, has the right to do whatever he wants with the defeated person's possessions. Everything he wants. Okay, he has got that. He has fully surrendered This person has won the war. The white flag has been waved, and he has given himself over. Now, how does this connect with us as Christians? Okay? Our heart has to be surrendered. Do a checklist for yourself. I've done the checklist, okay? It wasn't good. Many things I had to recalibrate, and I'm still recalibrating, okay? So I got the message first, okay? Our hearts, our ambitions, our will, our desires, our dreams, our bodies, and our possessions to God. That is full surrender to God. Okay? So you want to do a mental checklist. This is what a biblical full surrender to the Almighty, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob looks like. Okay? Don't know what you've heard before, what I've heard before. This is full surrender. Everything unto him. And then to offer service. Now, true biblical service is this. One who worships offers their body and their mind to God. You can write down Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. Okay, you can write that down. And you may have heard a lot of these things before. I want you to ignore that. I want you to have a fresh start for 2024. What does it mean to offer your minds and your body to God? Okay? Everything is put down at the altar before the Lord. Okay? I've had to do this checklist. And I've looked at my own life and my own body and my own will, my own possessions. And I'm having to, as I said, recalibrate. Where am I doing? I have to lay all of these things down before the Lord to do this, to accomplish the will of God. Remember Jesus said when he's in the garden, what did he say? Not my will, but your will. Now we've heard it so much. Let's not be romantic about it. God wants you so that he can accomplish what he wants to do actually in his church. That's what he wants. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So we've been called to worship God, which is surrender and serve God. And in order to do that, there's only one way, which is total surrender. We got that? It may not be comfortable. Okay, I've seen some uncomfortable faces. Mine was very uncomfortable even writing this out because I had to do this checklist. Okay, now look. Once the believer gets to this place, okay, it's then that believer positions themselves where they believe God is leading them. If God is leading you here to serve here, these things apply here. If God is leading you somewhere else, please don't be here, go there, okay? If God has called you to a different church and you're here this morning, please go to that other church. Because I want you to be obedient to God. That's primary. Amen? I want to be obedient. So I'm here because the Lord wants me here. Okay? That's why I'm at Calvary Chapel, Cambridge. I wasn't originally here, as you know. I came here. I was the quiet guy, sat in the corner with my arms folded, not speaking to anyone. Okay? And the pastor of the church said, I'm going to choose him to be the pastor of this church. And his wife thought he was nuts. Effectively, the quiet guy who sits in the corner who doesn't talk to anyone, that's the one. He said, yeah, I think God's got a calling on his life. So I was asked to be the pastor of a church. I said, no. The pastor tried to button me up with a kebab. I half worked. But 6 days later, through praying about the position, then the Lord softened my heart. And now I do the job. You understand? Being called to a position in the church. So I position myself here. Because I know that God has called me here to do the job. And he's calling you to do the same. Find out and position yourself where the Lord wants you. There he can use you. But two things. Surrender and service unto the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's look at number two. Number two is worship can be empty. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, please. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, And he's saying to the Pharisees that defilement comes from within. Okay? Defilement comes from within us. Okay? So Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus says, hypocrites, talking to the Pharisees, you're actors. That's what the word means. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, those people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, and teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said, look, some people draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. They're saying all the right things. They are attending church. They're doing all of these things, but their hearts are actually not near me. And we all know, okay, and I know when I'm not in a right place with God. Is that true? You can read your Bible and you see it and you go, oh, that hurts. That's conviction, by the way. That's a wonderful thing. However, the second bit, that's the Holy Spirit's work. The second bit is you. How do you respond to that conviction when you read it and go, oh, now what? Okay, because we have a response. Because God is not a dictator. He wants you, your willingness to serve him. Okay? He's saying, but their hearts are far from me. The meaning is this. It may look good on the outside. What you do, what you put online, the scriptures that you put up, your church attendance, Bible study, and all of these things that you do. But is there, and only you can check this, the Bible says for us to examine ourselves, the fruit. Is there true fruit in your life? Okay? Now, we can say our prayers. We can read our Bibles. We can sing songs, attend church, and all of these things. But at the same time, completely disregard the will of God. All of that, okay? Christians, born-again Christians can do this, okay? And it's the reason is this. It's because we want to live our lives according to our own will and not the will of the Lord, okay? I'm noticing a slightly heaviness in the room, okay? Now, it's a heavy message because there's a huge resistance of either from yourself or spiritual resistance to this. Why? What's the subject? Sorry? Can we say the word worship? Okay. The whole subject is about worship. God wants worship, and who else wants worship? Okay. So there's a resistance. I sent out the message early. I instructed people to be here. I prayed about certain people, and I prompted them, make sure you're at church tomorrow. Thinking, why should I be doing that? Well, I'm a shepherd. I need to get the sheep. I kind of know some of the sheep. And it's like, this one's definitely going to need a prompting. I got a text this morning saying, I can't make it because such and such. And I said, I think you need to be here. And they're here today. Praise God. That prompting, because the enemy comes in, they don't want you. The enemy does not want you to hear this message, okay? That means God does. Amen? And he's the only one worthy of worship, not the enemy and not ourselves. So, we go to number three, okay? Worship must be done in spirit and in truth. Now, you know the passage I'm going to go to. John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. This is Jesus and the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 23. There's so much in this passage. Jesus is speaking. He says this. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers, which means there's false worshippers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? Now, Jesus is saying this. True worshippers will worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. And the text goes on a bit further that God himself is looking for those people. Think of it like this. He's scouring the world, looking around. Who is truly willing to serve me? Who is truly willing to surrender, to bow down, to fall down and submit to me? He's looking for that. Okay? You may find a whole church. There may only be a few or a handful of true worshippers. I dare say this, that a church can be blessed by those true worshippers. Although you can have a church of 500, you see? And that doesn't mean the pastor, okay? You can have some true worshippers in the church which are, in a sense, sustaining that church by the will of God. And the Father, it says, is seeking such to worship him. Now, what is this meaning, though, of worshipping God in truth? In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus is speaking, Jesus is praying, and he says to the Father, sanctify them by your word, for your word is truth. So when we read our Bibles, this sounds so simplistic, and this is the problem. When we read our Bibles and we get convicted about something and we do it, that is worship. Isn't that wonderful? That's the truth. So you can come in and sing songs all day. But when God asks you to do something and you read it in his word, which is from above, and the Holy Spirit resonates with that and you do it out of obedience, that is a wonderful act of worship. That's how we glorify our God. Amen? That can be the simplest of things. It doesn't matter. It's obedience. And this is what the Lord wants. When he speaks to you and convicts you about these things, and we act that way, this is what the Father's looking for. True worship unto him. And I think that's wonderfully put. Now, when we sing songs of praise, okay, and when we sing something like we did this morning, and it's something true, something we believe, and we surrender to that, whatever song it is, that itself is a true act of worship as well. However, on the flip side, when you're proclaiming something you don't really believe, and you're praising God and say, oh, Lord, I bow down, I give my all to you and everything to you, it's all yours and I surrender, and you haven't done it, that's false worship, okay? Quite simple, isn't it? But it's just a song, but you're proclaiming something that you're not doing. I'm proclaiming something I'm not doing. However, when it's something we can agree with and say amen to, which means let it be so, that itself is worship. So worship can be singing songs of praise. Amen? And I often find at Christmas, with all the wonderful Christmas songs, there's so much theology in there. It just resonates with my heart. I'm sure it does yours. Yeah? All these wonderful biblical truths, and you're singing them and proclaiming them unto the Lord. That itself is worship. So true worship is any act of surrender to God. For example, listen carefully, surrendering to your bosses at work. Okay? Not to everything they do, which goes contrary to the word of God, but when you surrender to your boss at work, when you're obedient, okay? That can be an act of worship, not to your boss, but to your God. In your family, when you surrender to God's will, your family, like for you children, being obedient to your parents, that is an act of worship, okay? Or husbands and wives, when you submit one to another, as the Bible says in Ephesians 5, that is also an act of worship, see? In our relationships, let's say you have a relationship which is outside of what God has laid down, okay? And you surrender that relationship to him, okay? That is an act of worship. It may be hard. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it speaks about be not deceived. Fornicators won't inherit the kingdom of God. People having sex outside marriage, okay? Hardly get speaking about in church this morning. When you don't do that, you're not worshiping God. You're going against God's word. When you surrender that relationship and say, look, I can't do this anymore. I can't. That is an act of worship. And God will honor that because you're honoring God. And also the one which no one talks about in church these days is your dealings with money. If you surrender in your money to God and God's service, okay, that is an act of worship. Now, the reason why people get tetchy about money is this. To get money takes time. To get money, you need to get up and go to work and earn that money. And that's a sacrifice. And that's what a lot of Christians shrink back from, any form of sacrifice. However, when we hand that over to God and God's service, that itself is an act of worship. Amen? Okay, now look, in church as well, okay, by coming to church meetings is an act of worship. By encouraging one another is an act of worship. By obeying instruction is an act of worship. Okay, but I also want to say this, and I want to encourage you in this, okay? When we finish church service on a Sunday, to intentionally build somebody up. Don't just have a chit-chat about how's your week been. You can do that, okay? That's okay. How's your week been? I don't want to just hit everyone with theology as soon as the church service finished. Hayden, all right? But because the Lord says, doesn't he, instructs to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another, building each other up, see, seeing the other better than yourself and all of these things. Your opportunity to do that is here at church, especially on a Sunday, because we're all here, yeah? So rather than, well, I think church will finish at 12:30, quick coffee, some of those nice snacks that Wanapa brings in, and I can get out and I'll be back home for dinner for 1:15, therefore I meet you then. Don't do that. At least add another 30 minutes on your time so you can intentionally pray with someone, encourage somebody in the word. They also ask how they're doing. Fellowshipping is an act of worship because God commands it, yeah? Okay, so worship is more than singing. Worship, then, if we consider all those things, is a lifestyle. You don't go, well, I'm going to go to worship later. We should be worshiping 24/7. In how we respond at work or in our family or in our relationship with friends or husbands or wives or with children, everything, our dealings with money, everything else is an act of worship unto the Lord. So worship is this, surrendering what we have to God and being open to serve him by serving others in all that we do. That's a good definition of worship. Now, number four, just the last one, that worship belongs to God alone. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Now I think we'll further study this on Wednesday at Bible study, this coming Wednesday, to look at this a step further. This needs to be looked at again. If you're listening online, listen to the message again. Write these down. If it's uncomfortable, that's good. That means it's working. Now, John has encountered the angel in this passage, Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Now, I, John, saw and heard those things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me those things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And then he adds, worship God. Should we say that together? Worship God. Now, John is in awe. Why? Because this guy's an angel. Every day he turn up in your house, but he rebukes him. He said, look, we're all servants here, okay? He's telling him to worship God alone. And now, as believers, when we do worship, when we do surrender, when we do serve in church, this all belongs to God. What we're doing unto each other is unto the Lord, okay? Everything we say, everything we do should be to honor and glorify God. When we serve managers or bosses or pastors or teachers in a church, we have to remember there's only one master. Okay? I'm not the head of this church. Okay? Jesus is the head of the church. Amen? There should be a louder amen for that. Amen? Jesus is the head. Okay? I have to submit to him, and you have to submit to him. We should really, biblically, submit one to another again to glorify God. Now, the reason is we submit to everyone else is and obey and honor them is because God commands it. To love one another. To serve one another. Now, what that's going to look like in your Christian walk, you're going to have to take that one to prayer. Because unfortunately, in churches, these words are so often said over a church, and it's for you to implement them. You want to grow in your spiritual walk, as I do in 2024. I want to grow. I need to grow. I want to be stretched. I want to my worship be to God, to be sincere. I want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And essentially, I want to be in God's will. Okay. And we'll finish up with this. So, maybe Andy, I can ask you to come up. As professing believers, we must do these things. First of all, we must give everything unto God. And remember these 4 points, okay? I'm going to read them back to you. Number one, worship is complete surrender and willingness to serve. Number two, worship can be empty, completely in vain. Number three, worship must be done in spirit and in truth, meaning obedience. And number four, worship belongs to God and God alone. Now, why do we find it difficult to worship? Singing songs is relatively easy, but true worship, why do we find true worship so hard? Simply this, because we want to worship ourselves. Because we like what is ours. And because we want to do what we want with our bodies, with our time, and with our money. That's what we want to do. We see it as ours. Even after coming to Christ and being baptized, we still see it as ours. My time, my body, my money, my everything is still mine, not really. Okay? Now, the final point is this. We can sing, we can pray, we can study, we can attend church. And the danger is this. We can do all of this without truly worshiping God. That's scary. That scared me when I got this message. We can do all of this and we're not actually worshiping God. True worship, listen carefully. True worship requires a sacrifice. And a sacrifice hurts. It hurts. Any notion of comfortable Christianity is not Christianity at all. That's not Christianity, okay? That's not because there's no sacrifice there, okay? So for true worship, we must take those 2 steps. Surrender everything to God. Okay? Total surrender. Number 2 is service. Offer your body and your mind to the will of God, that the word of God and the will of God may be accomplished. That's true worship. I give the credit of the teaching to the pastor who put that together from Impact Video Ministries, but I give the glory to God. Okay? Now, are you willing to take those steps? I'm not going to ask you right now, but are you willing to take those steps? Do you truly want a fresh start in 2024? Do you want to be true worshipers of God in spirit and truth, the ones which the Father is looking for? Do you really want to be worshipers? Because this is what true worship looks like. And the wonderful thing is this. that is what God is looking for. That's what the Father is looking for, this sacrificial service. Again, consider Jesus in the garden and everything he did to bring us salvation, submitting himself, prostrating himself fully to the Father. So not my will, but yours be done. He laid down everything for you. He laid down everything for me, that we may be brought into a family, that we may be adopted in. He is the Savior. Without him, we're nothing. But with him, we can do all things. Amen? Let us stand. I want you to consider these things. We are going to sing songs right now. But in the singing of the songs, we can worship God and we can say amen in our hearts if we believe what we're singing. Now I'm going to pray that the Lord will soften your heart and my heart. And I want to ask if anyone wants to come forth for prayer. Chelsea, are you available to come up, to come for prayer? Do not hesitate. Do not wait. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this